Hello, I'm Tim Cocker with the Radio Academy podcast, and this week speaking with Sangeeta Pillai, who is a podcasting success story, someone with no previous broadcasting experience who is using audio in powerful and impactful ways with her award-winning Masala podcast aimed at South Asian women and the diaspora around the globe. And with Sangeeta's new series, which launched last week, well, the program is truly going global. There is lots to discuss, lots of insights on how to put on a great live show and how to grow an audience quickly.
It's a real joy to be on your podcast. I obviously know about the Radio Academy, and I know Aradhana and all the wonderful work she's doing. So it's a real joy to be here.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to talk about, but I think the first place I'd like to start is, how did it come to be that someone that 5 years ago didn't even know what a podcast was, it has such a successful one and is going international with it? Take us back to the start.
Tim, well done for reading my bio. Start with that. So yeah, so like you rightly said, 5 years ago, I didn't have a clue what a podcast was. And I got into Google to type in what a podcast was. Entered a competition with Spotify SoundUp to find women of color podcasters. Got shortlisted, went on to win the competition, which gave me a little bit of money to create the podcast. Still took me a year from winning the competition to creating the podcast, because I think I was learning how to create a really good podcast. So I think right from the outset, even with zero knowledge of podcasting, I was very sure that I wanted to create something that really connected with my audience. And to me, like, people say this, like, what's the secret? It's like, I didn't set out to be a podcaster. I set out to create change in my community. Like, that's why I do this. Podcasting is a medium. It's a medium that I love, and it's served me really well, given me a lot of success and awards and all the rest of it, but it is a medium. The purpose of the work is to help South Asian women to create change, to kind of inspire, to ask questions. So I think that's the root of it. And how did it go from there to here? I think by taking the time and the effort and the energy to create something really beautiful, something that is the soul of who I am and the work that I do. And I think that comes across on the podcast. And I think podcasting and any audio is very honest as a medium. If you're sitting there and like spinning stuff, you can hear it. And if somebody's being authentic, you can hear that as well. And I think my listeners can hear what I talk about. I talk about my own pain and my own struggles, and I never say I have the answers. It's just an investigation of the culture that we come from, a questioning of the culture. So I think that's really helped, which has made a lot of people love the podcast and kind of become fans of the podcast very, very quickly. In fact, even as soon as I launched, I had a lot of people get in touch, and they still do to this day. Every other day, I'll get a message on Instagram or email or whatever, they'll find me and they'll say big things like, you know, I feel seen, I feel less alone because of you, you've changed my life. Like, these are big things, and they say this on a regular basis. So I think the success of the podcast is entirely down to the authenticity of the podcast and the purpose of this work, I think. And I think when you do something with heart, with purpose, and you do it to the best of your ability, which I've done, I think chances of it being successful are much more. And I think the awards, like, I've won 5 British Podcast Awards, Audio Production Award, I've been written about, like, Guardian, blah, 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 Observer, you know, BBC, it's been everywhere. But I think that's great. And that's great for the ego of a podcaster. But I think those messages that I was telling you about, like, that's the gold dust. Like, that is what gets me out of bed in the morning and makes me on a particular day. You know, we all have rough days where you're like, why am I doing this? And, you know, this is so hard. I'll get a message like that, and then I'm like, okay, that's why I do this. Of course it helps, you know, like, we're all human beings and we need validation. We seek validation. So to have awards or to have, you know, I was on billboards in New York, like,
What was that like?
My brain doesn't quite compute. Like, I had 3 friends in New York at that time, and they sent me these videos, and I was like, I was in shock. I'm like, that's me on a gigantic billboard in Fashion Avenue in New York and Leicester Square. I went to Leicester Square and I had someone take a picture of me next to the billboard. It's one of those moments that you're like, this is unreal. This cannot be happening. And it's only now that it's actually happened that it feels like, oh, that actually happened, because it was so unreal, it didn't make sense. So that was amazing. So, but I think the point being that while those are very good things, and I'm very happy that happened, love all the press, love the awards, please send them my way and keep sending them my way. But I think having a real clear purpose of why you're doing this is what will decide if what you're doing is successful or not, because that purpose will see you through a good day, a bad day, a rough day, a day when you like, I've got no money to do this thing, or, you know, I don't understand how to do this thing. It will send you to your laptop at 2 a.m. trying to Google something because you're like, okay, this is bigger than me. And this serves, there's a whole community depending on this and relying on this. And I think while mine is very specific, it's talking to South Asian women about kind of cultures and issues within the culture, whatever your purpose might be, I think to have that very, very clear from the outset is super important, rather than saying, I want to create a podcast, mm-hmm. you know, and there are millions of people who want to create a podcast. How is yours different? Why are you doing it? The why is the most important question, I think, I would ask anybody that's starting a podcast. Why? Simple.
You have a brilliant talent for giving space for your guests to tell their story and letting that flow and actually being really, it sounds to me from the bits I've heard, very non-judgmental and actually you disarm your guests so you get great stuff out of them. But then you're not afraid to give an opinion as well in the little monologue parts as well.
I think what you touched upon there is really important. So to me, the way I see a podcast or a guest in a podcast is like someone's come into my space. Someone's come into my home. It's a very Indian thing. I think when someone's come in, you give them that grace, you give them that space, you give them that empathy, because they've taken time out of their life and their day to give you that hour. So you owe it to them to be respectful of that. So I think that empathy and space that I give is super, super important. And exactly like you said, when you do that, people are far more open to sharing. And I'm also very careful, this is as a rule, and I say this to all my guests, I will never push you. I will never ask your question like to put you in a spot or to make you uncomfortable, you know? And that's like a golden rule. So people know that, people trust me, I think. And therefore, then I'm more open to talking about the things that really matter, or experiences or things that they've experienced that they may not share in other spaces.
So with your new series, which started last week, you have focused on American, South Asian American women. What were you expecting, and why did you want to focus on America, and what were you expecting or hoping, maybe?
So this has been really surprising to me, what I've found, and I'm really glad you asked me that. So I set out, the why was because I was really curious, because I've done now 42 episodes in the UK, right? I've interviewed like a lot of South Asian American, big names, small names, Anita Rani, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm fairly familiar now with the British South Asian experience. While I talk to a lot of my guests, I'm very curious to know, how does this work if you are in another country, you're diaspora? What is this American South Asian experience? And I expected it to be similar. You know, I expected it to be like the same sort of thing, but slightly different. It's very, very different. And it's taught me as a podcaster to not go in to say, I know this. Actually, I don't know anything. And I've had to sort of let the guest take me to where they want to take me. I kind of went in with a specific agenda saying that's what this is going to be. And I had to kind of revise that fairly quickly. Because what I found, and this is super interesting, that a lot of the American South Asians I've interviewed are a lot more comfortable with their culture and at ease with their culture than British South Asians. And I think it's to do with the history of migration in these two places, colonialism. There's a lot of kind of factors that determine this. But it's amazing to me to sit there and hear my American South Asian guests talk about like wearing bindis and saris and eating Indian food and dancing to Bollywood as if it were the most normal thing. Like one of my guests, she's like 19. on her Instagram, every second outfit she wears is a sari, and she's a Hollywood star, she's a Disney star. And my first question to her, like, do you feel any like disconnect between your American and South Asian identity? She's like, no, why would I? And to me, that is beautiful and very surprising, not something you hear in the UK as much. So it was, to me, that the why was to discover what the female American South Asian experience was like. And what I found was it is quite different. And I think that's what makes it interesting, keeps me on my toes as a podcast. I would really emphasize the importance of quality. I know we've all got, you know, phones we can record in, we've got stuff, but whatever you do, if you make sure that you make it the best quality you can afford to make it with your time, with your energy, the audience will pick up on it. I think what, as podcasters were starting out, don't, the pressure will be to just produce it and send it out. Like, I got told by so many people, why are you sitting on it? Like, I remember a colleague asking me, or somebody who worked in the same space, why are you taking a year to create a podcast? I'm like, because I want it to be as amazing as I can make it. So I think if the why is important, the quality is just as important. I use that word quality in a broad sense, but make it as good as you can possibly make it, because then it's got a real chance of making it in the world that's, you know, imploding with podcasts left, right, and center.
That soundscape that you create, and the sort of waves of sound that take you through the journey of that is not something that you can easily replicate live. So I noticed in your last season you had two live episodes to finish the season, and you're going to be at the London Podcast Festival on the 16th of September with the Masala Podcast Live, for anyone that's interested and may still want to go and grab a ticket. So how do you bring your program with those values to life live?
You do, but you do it slightly differently. You think about it slightly differently. So the Masala Podcast Live, which is happening on the 16th, go find some tickets, London Podcast Festival, is going to be a Kama Sutra and Tantra special. So it's going to be very saucy. So I've got two expert guests who are going to talk about both of these erotic Indian South Asian arts. And for me, one of the reasons of bringing these two is, like, I want us as South Asian women to go back to our own culture and our own roots. We're told all the time that, oh, that's not Asian. And to be, you know, if you talk about sex, that's like, oh my God, that's not true to our culture. Actually, it is true to our culture. Go back and look at it. That's our culture. That's where we come from. So that's why those two guests and the themes of that podcast. The question you asked me about how do you translate it? You take the essence of the podcast. So what is the essence of a Masala podcast? Is about taboos in South Asian culture. So as I've just explained, this podcast is going to talk about Kama Sutra and Tantra. Sex is a massive taboo in South Asian culture and in a lot of other cultures, but particularly our culture. So you bring it to the live. And the way I like to think about it is, in a live, it's a real opportunity to engage with your audience. You're playing with your audience and you want them to have fun. You want them to go away after that hour and a half, like really buzzing. And in all my lives, nobody wants to leave. I've got to clear the room out. I've got to keep saying, like, come on. And I usually book a pub afterwards because no one wants to go home. So I've got to say, let's go to the pub, you know, because that's the kind of energy I try and create. Like, it's fun and it's laughter and it's slightly less serious in tone to the podcast. And I do something really fun, which is called the orgasm guessing game. So I divide the audience into two sections and I play these like orgasm sounds, and they've got to guess if A, is it an orgasm, or has she seen a spider, and, you know, silly stuff like that. And it's just a way for me to kind of engage them and get them involved. And they always jump up and say, you know, there's a lot of laughter in the room. So I feel like with the live, it's a real opportunity to kind of lighten the experience, to make it more fun, whatever your podcast might be. My podcast is fairly serious. It's talking about serious topics, but you can lighten it up for a live audience. Because you want them to go away with that really happy feeling. You know, it doesn't all have to be happy. There is a light and shade. You know, I've talked about serious stuff as well on the lives. But I think about how can you translate the essence of your podcast without losing it. So mine's taboo topics, so hence Kama Sutra and Tantra. How do you make it more fun? How do you make it more engaging? How do you involve your audience? So it might be quizzes, it might be Q&A, it might be something that they've got to do before the live starts. You know, think about how to make it more engaging for the audience is what I would say. I also try and get like a video person in because I want to capture the energy of a live because it's quite visual. And I always as like I wear saris to all my lives because I just think, you know, they're bright and you know, I wear my like blingy sari and it's shiny and you know, I love that. For me, it's part of that. It's like going to a wedding, going to a live podcast for me. It's a fun day, you know, and I want to kind of show off our culture. So to me, that's how I see it.
Sangeeta, we started at the start and we talked about the now and what's coming up immediately, but if you were writing this script of how this mission that you've got that currently exists as a podcast, what does it look like in maybe 5 years, 10 years time, if you could just have your wishes come true?
Wow, that's an amazing question. Give me goosebumps. Oh, yes. So if in 5 years I could have anything in this podcasting dream world, I would have Masala Podcast be listened to by the millions of South Asian women in this world. Millions, there are, I think, 2 million in America, 2 million in Canada, half of, like a million and something in Australia. So there are lots of South Asian women in different parts of the world. And my biggest challenge is to reach them because once they find me, they love me. And it really adds to their life. It helps their own kind of life journey. So in this dream scenario, 5 years from now, every South Asian woman on this planet would be listening to Masala Podcast. And I'd have many live shows in New York and, you know, Toronto and Mumbai and Sydney. And we'd be like, all the South Asian women would get together and have a blast and wear our saris and our bindis and talk about sex and Kama Sutra and all the rest of it. I think that's the dream.
There's a lot of very large billboards in a lot of cities around the world, Sangeeta.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm waiting for the next billboard.
The latest series of the Masala Podcast is available now wherever you get yours. Sangeeta, by the way, can be found at Soul Sutras on all the usual socials, and her live show, a reminder, is Saturday the 16th of September as part of the London Podcast Festival. My thanks again to Sangeeta Pillai for a cracking chat. Now, before that live show, we've got a festival of our own, don't forget. The Radio Academy Festival, Tuesday the 12th of September in London, with a fascinating lineup of guests, the most recent of which include Ramesh Ranganathan, Ken Bruce. The most recently announced of which include Ramesh Ranganathan, Ken Bruce, Simon Mayo, Vernon Kaye, Victoria Derbyshire, and more. Full details of the lineup and how to get your ticket is at radioacademy.org. We'll see you there.